Hi, I'm Abby, a postgraduate student at the University of Reading. I research the politics of the interwar period in Britain with a special interest in women. On the 24th of February 1920, Nancy stood alone, the only woman in a chamber of mainly hostile men to deliver her maiden speech. She made it clear that she recognised the unique position, starting her speech with, "I shall not begin with craving the indulgence of the House." She understood that she was unwanted and viewed suspiciously, especially by the Conservative Party for which she stood, and later became notorious for frequently interrupting other MPs as well as speaking at too great a length. However, she used her maiden speech to attempt to put fears to rest surrounding her views on drink, stressing that she did not regard herself as an American-style prohibitionist, but instead believed that the regulation of alcohol consumption would lead to a better world, especially for women and children. Nancy received a letter from an unknown woman who informed her that on payday she could get her husband past 4 pubs, but I can't get him past the 5th. Her dedication to this cause forms a vital part of her legacy, as her private members' bill, passed in 1923, successfully raised the minimum drinking age to 18 years old. It is the reason that we have to wait until we are 18 to drink today. During her time in Parliament, Nancy was aware of her responsibilities to women, both within her Plymouth constituency and across the country. She endured sexism within Parliament, as male MPs attempted to undermine her position, and soon she became adept at challenging them, often with a surprising amount of wit. Her priorities within Parliament were directly influenced by the letters she received from women all over the country, over 2,000 a week in fact, reflecting the intense workload she faced in the 20s. Nancy made repeated appeals for equal voting rights for women throughout the decade, arguing that women were asking for simple justice, not special privileges. Her dedication led her into conflict with the Conservative Party, for which full enfranchisement was not a priority, but her insistence was rewarded, as key party figures such as Asquith, Churchill and Lloyd George were all forced to reconsider their position on equal franchise in 1928, leading to the passage of the Representation of the People Act that same year. Nancy's legacy goes far beyond the policies she influenced, as she also pioneered women working cross-party on legislation involving welfare, childcare, the female police force and other professions, including women working and travelling safely on the railway. Her collaboration with Liberal MP Margaret Wintringham, the first British woman elected to Parliament, resulted in the publication of a pamphlet on the need for women members of Parliament. The main aim of cross-party work was to expand the numbers of female MPs, regardless of which party they belonged to, in order to force parties to recognise women's issues as an important part of the political agenda. Although her attempts to create a separate women's party were sadly unsuccessful, Nancy was able to bring to the forefront the issues that really mattered to women across the country, regardless of the commitments to her party. By the late 20s, almost all legislation had a female element, which meant that because there were fewer female MPs, they were spread extremely thinly and had to work very hard. 49% of female contribution to debates within the House of Commons between 1919 and 1945 concerned welfare and women's questions, such as abortion, contraception, and unmarried mothers. This was an unprecedented change in parliamentary tradition and the political environment. It dispelled the tradition maintained by hostile male MPs that Parliament was a men's house. This progress was set into motion by Nancy Astor. Nancy's legacy in her election to Parliament 100 years ago marked the start of a woman's journey to full political equality and representation. Her work with female MPs across parties showed that she had the initiative to recognise that she could not function alone, and her dedication to women's issues reflected her desire to serve all women. Despite her initial struggles, Nancy proved herself to be worthy of the title of Britain's first sitting female MP. She held the repute of all women in her elegant, gloved hand, and she did not let them down. Thank you so much for listening to us so early in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the train wearing our suffragette sashes and we so look forward to meeting you later on. Come and talk to us and follow us on social media on @LadyAster100 and @UniReadingHistory on Twitter. Thank you.